This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Australia's only LGBTIQ+ national news and current affairs show. Proudly sponsored by KHQ Lawyers. Passionate about being the best.
The Victorian government is presently inviting members of our community to have input into proposed laws banning LGBT conversion practices, which is the more accurate name for what is commonly referred to as gay conversion therapy. The government committed to banning the practice after a report from the Human Rights Law Centre revealed the extent of the conversion therapy in modern Australia. We'll be speaking to Minister for Equality Martin Foley in the next couple of weeks, but this week we have La Trobe Dr. Timothy Jones, the author of that Human Rights Law Centre report, to give us some insight into the impact gay conversion therapy can have.
And it's not just gay men or gay people that are subject to these practices. Lesbian, gay, bisexual and transsexual and gender diverse people are affected by this conversion ideology and practices. The core idea at the base of it is that LGBT people are broken, like by the fact of being LGBT, psychologically and spiritually, and that they need to be healed or helped to live with their pathology or spiritual affliction.
So the report looked at the lived experiences of, I believe it was 15 LGBT people. Could you describe some of the lived experiences that gave you, you know, a picture of what was going on in LGBT conversion practices?
We were really surprised by both the diversity of experience, but also the commonality of the impacts that it had. About a third of the participants had received conversion practices from registered mental health professionals, counsellors, psychologists, a psychiatrist. So in their professional practice, against the codes of ethics that they're bound by, they were trying to reorient the sexuality or gender identity of the participants. Everybody had engaged with religious professionals to some degree or other. This might have been individual counselling or kind of ex-gay, ex-trans group therapy in their churches, and it might have been spiritual practices like spiritual healing, prayer, and spiritual deliverance, those kinds of things.
How common is this, and has it become more or less common over the past few decades?
In the report, we estimated that 10% of Australian LGBT people are vulnerable to conversion practices because they're members of religious communities that hold on to conversion ideology. And this is quite close to studies that have been published in the US and the UK, which have estimated that similar proportions of LGBT people are vulnerable to or have been subject to conversion practices.
What are some of the effects, you know, psychologically, emotionally, socially, that conversion practices have on LGBT individuals, particularly young LGBT people?
So we found the impacts of involvement with conversion practices and ideology were really, really shocking. The mental health consequences were particularly brutal. Everyone that we interviewed had at some stage of their journey going through these practices contemplated ending their life. All of them suffered with severe issues with depression and anxiety. People experienced difficulty forming relationships, had difficulty in sexual function. They felt about a third of our participants had married someone of the opposite sex or gender as kind of part of or because they're encouraged to by their conversion group that they're involved with. And then when they eventually resolved their sexual identity, all of those marriages ended, and they felt a lot of guilt about the suffering that they put their spouses and their children through because of that. One of the other things that was a little bit surprising was how marked the spiritual harms were. A number of our participants could no longer continue in their faith, and they lost their faith, and that was a source of grief to them, which was a little bit confusing to articulate, but really, really apparent that they lost a community and a sense of comfort and belonging in the world. And those who had managed to sustain and maintain their faith really struggled by a sense of not being welcomed into their religious community of origin, and just really struggled to find a religious space for themselves that was safe.
So what are some of the ways of combating this? Because Premier Daniel Andrews has pledged to fighting against LGBT conversion practices. But what do you think the best form of this looks like? Is it as simple as just, you know, making it illegal? Is there something more active that needs to be done? Do there need to be support networks for LGBT people who might be isolated within a community of conservative religious people who are being pressured to go through with conversion practices that, you know, they could reach out to, something like that?
So we're really excited that the state government's taking action to protect people from the obvious harms of these practices. And it's initiated the law reform process, which is open for comment at the moment. So that's really exciting that they're taking action. If anyone wants to go onto the state government's engagement website and look through the discussion paper about this, they'll see how complicated combating conversion practices through the law is. So many aspects of conversion therapy are difficult to get to through the law, and it's difficult for the law to function. So while the law might function as a really clear signal that these practices are not appropriate and that they're harmful, in terms of actually convicting people or creating a space for people to be litigated against and for people to receive financial and psychological remedy, there are limits in what the law can do. And studies on the operation of conversion therapy bans in other countries have shown that very often the law is symbolic, and it's very difficult to actually prosecute people where it's criminalised, and that it's been open to challenge, you know, on the basis of freedom of speech or freedom of religion in other cases. And in fact, New York has just withdrawn its conversion therapy legislation, its conversion therapy ban, in the face of legal challenges. And New Zealand has decided to postpone or not proceed with legislative action against conversion practices because of questions around religious freedom. So what we argued in the report, and what I firmly believe, is that the law alone is not enough to protect people from harmful conversion practices. Concerted social action is needed, working with affected communities to help them to realise the harms associated with the practices, and supporting them to develop positive and affirming spiritual care for LGBT people.
I guess that kind of keys neatly into the Morrison government's religious freedom bill, which, you know, they claim is to promote religious freedom of speech. Now, how conversion practices goes a little bit beyond simply religious speech. However, do you see the Morrison government potentially leaving the door open to empower conversion practices with this legislation?
I think one of the key tests of the federal legislation around religious freedom is what kinds of harmful religious practices it will allow. And I think as a community, that should really be how we assess it. I think Australians have had a bit of a blind spot to being able to critique religion in an informed way. And I think in the area of conversion practices and LGBT health and spirituality, I think it's potentially an exciting way to kind of bring in a sense of accountability to religious organisations to check whether the practices which they've assumed values around gender and sexuality are actually authentic to their religious tradition, or is this a cultural accretion to their religion that they might be able to develop an authentic and orthodox faith that is affirming and supportive of LGBT people.
That was Timothy Jones. If that story was troubling for you and you need to talk to someone, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14, or for an LGBT-specific service, you can call QLife on 1-800-184-527. And if you'd like to have your say on how the state government should tackle LGBT conversion practices, you can go to engage.vic.gov.au/conversion-practices-ban.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.